Mm. God damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit. Me and Vincent would have been satisfied with some freeze-dried Taster's Choice, right? And he springs this serious gourmet shit on us. What flavor is this?
Knock it off, Julie.
What?
I don't need you to tell me how fucking good my coffee is, okay? I'm the one who buys it. I know how good it is.
Everybody.
Welcome to Espresso Shot Numero Dos.
We are.
How are we both going to say Numero Dos? Both the cheesy dad.
Because that's who we really are at heart.
So, like, getting worse every minute, becoming more of a dad.
So, number two of Espresso Shots, we're talking about Mad Men and Friends,
yes.
As usual. We are in the beginning stages of our new podcast formats, mm-hmm. And work with us.
Making some adjustments, rearranging, recalibrating, all for the better.
All for the better. We're sorting it out. We're doing what's best. And what's best for this podcast is
Mommy
Alex and Molly.
Daddy still love you guys.
Alex and Molly are going to talk about our favorite shows.
Yes. Like always.
That's what we really want to do in life.
It's true.
First up, do you want to do Friends or Mad Men first?
Do you want to do Friends?
Sure. So this episode was Friends, these episodes. We do two episodes of Friends.
Yes.
In case you're new, and one episode of Mad Men. The reasons we do it is because Mad Men is Alice's favorite show. Mm-hmm. Friends is my favorite show. We've each seen each episode of our favorite shows.
At least twice.
If not, but the other has never watched this show.
Yeah.
So we're forcing each other to love.
Which is like, honestly, that's what the main thing I love to do in life is to make other people watch things that I like.
It is my favorite thing. It's something that I constantly do with podcasts, YouTube, and TV.
Yeah, so this is perfect.
You have to listen to this. It's so good.
Now it's like studying, like required viewing that we get.
Yeah, exactly.
Friends. The first episode of Friends is season 3, episode 13, the one where Monica and Richard are just friends.
Yes. This is a good episode. I really like this episode, actually. And I would like to say these two episodes are two episodes that are two of the better episodes.
Yes,
I agree. This season.
I agree.
When they're on television, I watch them. That's how I base, in case you're new, this is how I base if I like the Friends episode, is if it's on TV, I'll leave it on.
Yes.
So both of these, I leave them on. They're good episodes.
They are
episode good. 13, mm-hmm. Particularly Richard's back.
Without a mustache.
Without a mustache.
It's distressing
to
see him without a mustache.
It's not great. Also, you get full view of his chest.
Yes,
in this episode.
You do.
It's very, like, it's very dad
there's some
body.
Cheesy 90s roses in the bed kind of setting.
There is. And I would like to add to that I am kind of disappointed that Monica would copy what he did.
Come on, Monica.
And think that it was cool. Like, come on, you can't think of something like.
Be more creative than that.
More creative. Like, you're going to do exactly what he did.
They could have done her, like, covered in whipped cream, and that could have, like, played on her
something.
Baking.
Yeah, something.
Just an idea.
And like her fat childhood.
Oh my god.
It would have
yeah.
been like a whole funny like thing. Yeah.
Oh my god.
This is why we should be writers.
Yeah.
I have one of my notes on this episode is we've all been Monica.
Oh my god, who hasn't been Monica? Who doesn't find Monica relatable, honestly?
Who doesn't convince themselves that being friends with an ex-boyfriend is a good idea?
And just her That's yeah, just the way that she works everybody. Her way through that idea is like too relatable to me.
Even
like, it'll
after,
be totally fine. We can just be exclusive friends.
Even after they do it, it's fine. We're just friends that do it.
Why hasn't anybody ever done this before?
One side story is the ball's out. And I think that is such a funny little side plot. And I think it's really good utilization of Phoebe. Because it doesn't super focus on her being weird, but it actually focuses on her, like, love life.
Her weird boyfriend's really
a super weird boyfriend.
Yeah. And he's kind of awful. Like, I did not like him. Even though we only saw him, like, for 30 seconds in total. I didn't like his personality at all. But it offered some great moments with Chandler, though. Chandler was telling me the whole episode. He was so funny.
My favorite plot line of this episode is Jennifer Aniston.
Little Women Rachel, and The Shining.
Rachel and Joey's
plot line.
Long story short, Joey's favorite book is The Shining, which, I mean, curveball for anybody watching that he even reads. Like, who knew that he reads? His favorite book is The Shining. It's, like, the only book that he's ever read. Great and he book, loves it, way. But he's scared of it. And I keep calling her Jennifer. Rachel's favorite book is Little Women, which she doesn't really say it's her favorite book. She reads more often. She just said it was something that she's read multiple times.
Yeah.
So they each decide to read each other's favorite books to see, like, whose is better, basically.
Kind of like what we do.
So I love this. I think that it's interesting. Something that I didn't look up that I wanted to look up was whether the movie The Shining came out after this.
Oh, good point.
Because,
well, I think this came out around the same time. 96. Mm-hmm. The Shining, I feel like it came out in the late 80s, but let me just check real quick. Because I am also obsessed with The Shining, I think. 1980.
I like the movie. I've never read the book. And
I think they're very different, actually. So, I think that's like a point of contention between Stephen King and Stanley Kubrick, or was.
Yeah.
Because he kind of took liberties, but.
Well, I really like the movie.
Both are great.
I think the movie is fantastic.
You should watch the documentary. Joey would love the documentary Room 237, which is about all the conspiracy theories surrounding The Shining.
Really?
Would love it. You could go down such a rabbit hole with all these theories. It's on Netflix, so you have to watch it.
Big wheel through the hotel 3 times. The first ride, I think, is about realism. That's Danny is doing a loop around the lounge set. You know, he goes through the service hallway, and then he goes through the lounge, and then he goes back into the service hallway. And, you know, when you first see the movie, you're like, she's just wandering around. It's crazy. It's just, but it, no, it's very, it's just a very simple loop. And he does it once. But that gives you an idea of what that place is. I mean, it's, you know, all right, you understand that set is real, you know, like it's a continuous shot, there are no tricks. In the second ride, in the hexagonal hallway, there are more tricks. Like he doesn't do a loop, he does kind of like a key-shaped, you know, or a P-shaped loop around this hallway. And you see the realism of the connection to the lounge set.
So something that I do like to point out, Little Women sucked.
I've never read it.
It's horrible. Now, and here's the thing too, you have to understand, from coming from like an English major, Jane Eyre, Jane Austen, all of those, like, that whole genre time period of writing for women, I hate. And I understand that there's a whole niche for them, and like, it's a thing.
People love Jane Austen.
Not my kind of thing. I think it drains yourself and your soul, and it's like so droll and boring, and like it never ends, and it's the longest boring sentences. It's exactly those books that you read about that, like, you read for 10 years and you don't make it through one paragraph.
I've never read,
you just reread something,
anything like that. Like, I mean, I should have in school, but I read Spark Notes or stuff and stuff.
But, I mean, it's just the difference.
I loved the movie of Pride and the Prejudice. I don't know.
See,
I like the movie Pride and Prejudice.
But see, and I don't. And that's, I don't know. It's, I don't like that whole genre. So I'm
well,
not
I like Colin Firth.
I do love Colin Firth. Moving on, season 3, episode 14.
I don't have any notes for the one with Phoebe's ex-partner. But
do you have the name of it?
Yeah, the one with Phoebe's ex-partner.
That's about what it is. Okay.
former bandmate who now writes jingles for commercials.
Which she is the lead singer of a band, which I think is interesting. I've looked it up before. I can't think of what her name is right now. I want to say the Cranberries. I think it's the Cranberries, but I'm not positive. But she is, I know she's like a famous singer that they like got in to do this.
Yeah.
Whose name is Ginger?
So the person who worked in the job that I now have, her name is Ginger.
Okay.
And Ginger Spice. She's
the only person I ever know. And Ginger from Gilligan's Island, which is referenced in this episode. Which I love, because Monica's like, the movie star, Professor Anne Marianne.
Elizabeth Daly, is that her
Hashtag name? Good show. Sure did love me some Gilligan's Island. I am all over the place when it comes to genre and generation.
Yeah, totally. I feel you there.
I was really jealous of Ginger kissing Chandler. I thought that he was really endearing and cute.
Totally.
In many of those moments, especially when he was sitting on the chair. I remember when I was a kid and watching these shows, and like when all the guys are like sitting in the chairs and the girls are like sitting on their laps and they're like cuddling and kissing and stupid shit like that. I remember being a kid and be like, I'm gonna do that.
That seems fun. I have an important announcement to make, guys.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Daly, who played Phoebe's ex-partner, did the voice for Tommy Pickles on Rugrats.
Oh my God, I knew that. Okay, can I just tell you? So I was sitting there watching it today, and I was like, whose voice does she sound like? It sounds like something familiar. I am not referencing. I just, like, my brain just fucking stopped
And Susie
working.
Carmichael. God, she did a lot of voices.
My love of Friends is to the extent that my love of the Rugrats were.
Oh my God.
The Rugrats were my entire life when I was younger. I watched it every day, nonstop, all day. I knew every episode. I watched them through the preteen series.
Oh my God, I loved that series. I watched Lil and Phil were like cool teens.
Yes. Yes. I watched my life was Rugrats. And so, like, 100%. When I was listening, I was like, it sounds like Tommy Pickles. So that's so funny because I literally said that earlier.
Well, when I saw that she was like, she voiced a character on Rugrats, I just assumed Angelica, but nope.
Tommy. No, I knew. I thought it sounded like Tommy Pickles, but then I was like, well, I don't know. I didn't look it up.
Rugrats are such an amazing piece of television.
For real. Two other things I would like to say. Nubinectomy.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say.
And the idea that that might be, like, where his humor comes from was pretty great.
I mean, like, I think it's hilarious that he has a nubbin in the first place. And the fact that he got a nubinectomy is
that a name?
I mean, that's comedy gold.
Friends made up, or is that a real
nubbin?
Slang name.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, like, a real thing. It's probably, like, a real slang name. I'm sure it's not, like, the real name.
No, not the medical term.
I've never known somebody with a nubbin. Hey, out there, no, if you know someone with a nubbin, let us know. I want to know if people have nubbins.
She's now to announce to you. That's the important part.
The last thing that I would like to say is these two episodes had great Phoebe songs. Specifically the second one with Jingle Bitch. Can I tell you how many times in my life I've quoted Jingle Bitch? I can't even stress to you the importance of Jingle Bitch that it has on my life. It's such an, like, a standalone for Friends that, like, you could go up to a random person on the street and say it.
Lisa Kudrow is such a fantastic actress because she never seems like she's forcing any aspect of Phoebe's personality. Like, everything seems like it would come directly from Phoebe, and I think that's a testament to how great Lisa Kudrow is.
And the songs are great.
Yeah, the songs are really well done.
Yeah. All right. That's it. That's good episodes, guys. Go watch these episodes. I'm a big advocate of these two episodes.
It really bounced back from the last two that we watched.
Yeah. And if you listen to last episode, like, I'll tell you if they're not good episodes. The last two were not good. These two are good. Go watch them. So, Mad Men. Season 1, episode 2. I texted Alex after watching this and said, this is a really good episode.
Getting started. Okay. Getting her reel
in. And I even told Jimmy, I think you should start watching this.
Yeah, it's a great
show. It's really hard to get him into shows, but I think that he would like it. I said LOL at the fireball. I thought that was really funny.
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning.
With the aerosol.
With the aerosol spray can deodorant. Yeah, they're trying
to come up with a campaign for aerosol deodorant, which is very new in this time period. And it's very flammable.
I thought that was great. I thought it was a really funny little, like, slapstick kind of moment for the show.
There's a lot of random, like, slapsticky moments that are just, like, there's an episode in the next, I think it's in this season, involving a lawnmower. You are going to die.
I'm really excited. I genuinely appreciated that moment.
It was cute. Like, yeah.
I get it.
They make room for humor. Yeah. I have two notes about actors in this episode that I think are notable. The first scene in which Roger and his wife are having dinner with Don and Betty, Roger's wife is played by John Slattery's actual wife.
Really?
That's interesting, yeah. And we also get to meet for the first time Bert Cooper, who is the senior partner at Sterling Cooper, played by Robert Morse, who's sort of a famous Broadway actor who's been in a billion different things and also voiced, I think this is like the crown jewel in his career, Jack Frost from the 1979 claymation movie. How about that for a meta moment?
What?
Yeah. I think I remember thinking that when we watched Jack Frost, and I was like, I'm gonna have to remember to tell Molly that.
That's amazing.
He's like one of the best characters in Mad Men. He's so quirky and weird and funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is Paul cute?
No.
Mm-mm. You don't think so?
I saw too much of his pores and his red face when he tried to kiss Peggy.
That's entirely true.
Well, you know, is what? He becomes more interesting, like, as time goes on. He's probably the best of the worst in terms of the copywriter bunch. They all kind of blend together at the beginning.
Yeah. It's just there was a guy in the beginning that came over and asked her, and I thought he was kind of cute. He's a little chubby and, like,
oh, yeah,
I like
Rich.
At least slightly chubbier guys. It's not the same guy. That's not the same guy that, like, tried to kiss her.
That
then.
Guy is cute. I like that guy.
I like that
guy.
Yeah,
I like him, too.
I thought he was cute and quiet and a little, like, bigger eye, which I like. And, like, I thought he was really cute. Okay, then I had the wrong guy. That's who I was asking.
The second guy who makes moves on her, that's Paul.
Yeah, I don't.
Paul Kinsey.
Like, so, here's something that we should just kind of toss in here really quick. Here's a preview to what's going on, guys. So, next week, we are going to have a little bit of a change up for the episode, for our podcast episodes. We're going to have a new person co-hosting the iced coffee pod with me. And Alex and I are going to continue doing the espresso shots.
Yeah.
So, the espresso shots are going to be like 5 minutes longer now because we're going to be including recommendations and stuff in these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So just throwing that out there.
Don't be too alarmed.
Don't be too alarmed when you hear a new voice.
It's exciting. We're adding to our family.
Yes. So it's a good improvement. And I'm looking forward to it. I think that everybody's going to enjoy the new plan, but it means that we're going to be doing recommendations at the end of this podcast.
This is like our media episode.
Yes. So something else that I would like to say is there were a lot of throwbacks in this episode to things that society has improved upon.
That's true. There were
like seatbelts.
I know there's like a sequence of events. I think before we even started Mad Men, I texted you a picture of Francine is over at Betty's house and they're talking, and Sally comes up to Betty wearing a garment bag, a dry cleaning bag.
Yes, that's my other note.
I remember texting it to you.
This is why kids can't put bags over their head.
Well, yeah, and she's literally breathing into the bag, and Betty is upset because she thinks that the dry cleaned clothes might be crumpled up on the floor, which is like such a funny little moment because she goes, Sally Draper, come over here right this minute. And you think she's going to get yelled at for wearing a plastic bag over her head and suffocating.
But no.
And then they proceed to get in. Betty proceeds to get into a minor car accident, and none of the kids are wearing seatbelts.
In fact, they're climbing all over the place.
I don't even think there are seatbelts in cars that old, honestly.
No, there weren't.
Yeah, that's a Ralph Nader invention.
Yeah, there weren't. So I have a question for you, mm-hmm. and this might be a little spoiler.
Okay.
And I unfortunately differ from most of the world in the fact that I don't mind spoilers. I welcome them with open arms because I don't like surprises.
There you go.
So I'm going to ask you a question and you can answer me in very general terms so that it doesn't completely spoil.
Okay.
But is there a medical legitimate reason for the numb hands?
So, no. Not now. Does that help? Not
is
for
it
a long
psychological
time.
Or is it medical?
It's psychological. This is psychological.
This is psychological.
As far as I can remember, right, this is psychological. Yes. So Betty experiences intermittent numbness of her hands, which we see for the first time, I think, in this episode when she's trying to put lipstick on. And then when she's driving, it's kind of a cause of the accident because she gets distracted. While Francine was at Betty's house, she was telling her about Helen Bishop, who is this divorcee that's moving into the neighborhood. And they say that a realtor's estimated that the property values are going to go down because a divorcee has moved into the neighborhood. But right. Betty sees her when she's driving by trying to bring things into her house. And she kind of gets lost in thought and crashes.
Right. So, like, I think... Okay. I just wanted to know if it was, like, a medical condition or if it was a psychological condition.
It's psychological.
Psychological.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was my question. I just wanted to see. Because, like, if it was going to be medical, I was going to go off, a huge deep end. No, just, like, research.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I think that's actually one of the really interesting themes of this episode. Because I noticed in this episode that Don especially asks a number of times to different people, what do women want? Because the thrust of the episode is he and the copywriters are trying to come up with a new campaign for this aforementioned aerosol deodorant. And he says, so they come to him with this space age campaign. And he says to them that women are the ones buying the deodorant. So he proceeds to ask a number of different people over the course of the episode, what do women want, under the pretense of figuring out a strategy for this ad campaign. But I think also, I mean, I'm no brain trust, but I think also to reference, he feels really confused about what's going on with Betty and why she's having this psychosomatic symptom.
You think they want a cowboy? He's quiet and strong. He always brings the cattle home safe. You watch TV. What if they want something else? Inside some mysterious wish that we're ignoring.
Right.
Because they're talking about her maybe seeing a psychiatrist, which... especially in this time period, is not something people really did openly. It's kind of taboo to have any sort of mental illness.
Well, she does mention that it's starting to come around.
Yeah.
This is kind of a revelation of a psychological thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do people really lay down at a therapist's office?
So this is like a more traditional, like, Freudian psychotherapy session. I don't think people do that if you see a psychiatrist anymore, but
okay.
I don't know. I mean, psychiatrists
to me are
more like...
I didn't think that people actually did that.
Yeah, I think that's just a very specific type of psychotherapy that people did a lot in the 60s.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. And he also didn't comment on anything she said or interact with her in any way.
Right.
But I thought so. There were some interesting notes for when she does end up ultimately going to the shrink. What does she say? So she says... and this is kind of something that Don says to her when they're first sort of talking about her maybe seeing a psychiatrist. He says to her, you have everything, you should be happy, which is a really interesting statement for people with mental illness.
Yeah.
But also like this, so we're kind of...
which carries over into today.
Absolutely. Well, this is a time period, and Betty references it in her psychotherapy session when she says to the therapist, we're all so lucky to be here. She says a lot of people are worried about the bomb because this is kind of the time period after World War II when the world's experienced this new nuclear capability, and a lot of people are worried about, atomic bombs and destructive power and just like entire parts of the world being completely decimated. Like, that was not something people ever considered before this period.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You.
And you.
And you.
And you.
Yup.
And cover.
Be sure and remember what Bert the Turtle just did, friends, because every one of us must remember to do the same thing. That's what this film is all about. Duck and cover.
This is an official civil defense film produced in cooperation.
So there's that kind of level of anxiety just in the public generally. But also there's a lot of abundance in America in this time period. There's this like new emergence of consumer culture, which is what Don is in the center of, you know. So it's like you have right. everything, but you're still worried about something. And also I think, and I was going to mention this too, I feel like a lot of, for people my age, for people like in their mid like 20s or whatever, a lot of our grandparents, a lot of our grandmothers are kind of like Betty, you know, where like you kind of go along with how the world or how society works, even if you maybe didn't want children, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, completely. That's kind of familiar to me as far as like knowing older women now that lived Betty's life.
I only have one more note, and that is that I really want her sheer housecoat.
Everything she wears is beautiful, and she is just such a little cupcake of a person. Like, her hair is so perfect. Her voice is perfect.
I do really want her sheer housecoat, though. I just genuinely want that. Like, I want to walk around my house in my baggy sweatpants and t-shirt.
It does seem appealing.
Sheer.
It's very anti-feminist for me to say so, but my God, if someone else could work for me.
I mean, I don't know. I can still, like, I think that that's part of, I mean, as much as I'm loving New Girl this season, but I think that that's part of Zooey Deschanel's whole, like, shtick is that you can be like a feminist and like want
totally
feminist things and still like girly, pretty, cute things,
or be happy to be a stay-at-home mom, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You can,
I think, just the thing of this period is
do
like
what you want,
an absence of choice. But I mean, honestly, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah,
but I think that one of the interesting things about this episode, so like, and a lot of this is happening for me for the first time because I have seen this show. I watched it originally when, like, right after it came out, and I've rewatched it a number of times, but I haven't watched it in a few years. Not that I'm some like old sage now or anything, but I think it's interesting to rewatch it now and sort of experience Don, because I think on the surface, Don is sort of a cad and, you know, cocky and thinks he knows everything, but he's really an interesting character. I think I mentioned that they're talking about how to sell this aerosol deodorant, and the guys bring him this like space age astronaut flying around kind of campaign, and Don says, what does he say? He says something that's really funny. He says, some people think of the future and it upsets them. I don't think it's ridiculous to assume we're looking for new planets because this one will end. And I feel like, God, that's so, like, he's so intuitive about people, which I think is really interesting, because it's like his intuition about the human psyche is what makes him so successful as an advertising manager. At the same time, he lives in a time period where there are, like, suffocating norms about people and just like a deliberate ignorance about certain types of people and what they might want. So I just think it's so interesting. Like, he's also so cutting, which is also like really entertaining to watch, because he does.
Yeah.
He explains to the guys, like, women are going to be the ones in the stores buying this deodorant for their husbands. What do women want? And Paul Kinsey, who we were talking about before, says, I've stopped trying to figure out what they think. And Don says, maybe I should stop paying you, which I think is like so great. Cause he's like, just when you think he's headed a certain direction, he swerves. And it's usually to embarrass these copywriters, which is like thrilling to me because they're mostly awful. But I don't know. I think he's really an interesting character. And I'm just kind of now getting
so
it.
Completely. And it's like, he's one of those characters that's so, like, you hate him, and then like 5 minutes later you love him.
Yeah, because he's a frustrating person, and he obviously,
and he's not that good of a person.
Not a good person.
He's not a good person.
And you'll learn more about how he's not good of a person he is. But he, like, I think It's so funny having watched this as a kid or a teen or whatever.
Right.
And like never, I think this is a thing that young women do. Never batting an eyelash at his cheating. Because I was like, oh, well, right. Guys like other women. Guys like younger women. Like, what's the big deal? And even like the last few times I've watched it, I'm like, oh, that's Don. He cheats or whatever. And now I watch it and I'm like, God, he was hardcore cheating on his wife like every day. And I know that that's kind like, of something that happened in the time period, but it's kind of crazy.
Well, and not just cheating, but like having basically other relationships.
Basically full other relationships.
Full on other families. Right. Exactly. Like all you have to do is add kids and that's like two families.
Yeah.
Like he sees her every day and has intimate conversations with her besides sex.
So. And she actually is, Midge is actually a really interesting character too in this episode because he asks her what women want. And what does she say? Because you'll know I wrote it down. He says to her, I can't decide if you have everything or nothing. And she says, I live in the moment. Nothing is everything.
I'm serious, Don. Don't talk to me about her. That makes me feel cruel. Sometimes.
I can't decide if you have everything or nothing.
I live in the moment. Nothing is everything.
Sounds more like you live in a village.
Recommendations?
Oh man, I don't really have any this week. I've heard S-Town is great, and I've heard Big Little Lies is great, so you guys can check those two things out. I'm too busy.
Actually, funny story, Hannah, Jimmy's daughter, my boyfriend's daughter, is obsessed with Big Little Lies and highly recommended it to me. So
it's been very recommended.
I have no interest in watching it, but if you like shows like that, you should go watch it because I heard it's good. So I have the one that I was going to recommend, and then I have another one. The first one that I would recommend is this YouTube channel, and I can't find it. Simply Nailogical. Her videos are great. They're really funny. Even if you don't like nail tutorials, you should watch them. She's really funny. She's really casual. She just kind of, it's like if you take a nail art guru and just replace the personality with Jenna Marbles. But with some nail stuff. And it's great. I think it's really entertaining. She's just funny. Also, little recommendation. I just noticed that Jenna and Julian just put out a new podcast, and it's a car cast. And the last time they did a car cast, it was hilarious. So go watch that. You don't have any podcasts that you're listening to right now you can do?
I'm currently listening to Comedy Bang Bang with Thomas Middleditch, Kumail Nanjiani, and Martin Starr. So far, very funny. Anything with Thomas Middleditch, I'm dying.
Hugely, hugely hilarious.
He's just the funniest person walking Earth currently.
Yeah, I agree.
And like, just totally ridiculous and just the goofball.
That's good. I think we can recommend like single episodes of things. I'm doing that.
Yeah. But I think that's...
Yay.
I only listen to Comedy Bang Bangs with certain actors on them.
And I do that with a lot.
Every Jason Mantzoukas and every Andy Daly.
I think we've talked about that before. I cannot faithfully, responsibly recommend Comedy Bang Bang to anybody, but I can recommend certain comedians.
Because you never know what you might get.
Sometimes it's too much, guys. But certain comedians, you can't go wrong.
I mean, so when Andy Daly, on there, Jason Mantzoukas, Thomas Middleditch, right. Tune in.
That's how I feel about Doug Loves Movies. I love Doug Loves Movies. It's one of my favorite podcasts, but I don't listen to all the episodes. I only listen to the ones that, like, I know I'm going to like.
Mm-hmm. I'm so behind on a lot of my favorites. I haven't listened to How Did This Get Made in a very long time, which is, my gateway podcast.
I'm pretty sure I deleted it because I just got so behind.
Well, sometimes they automatically, unsubscribe you if you don't listen enough.
Well, they just stop downloading new episodes. Yeah, right. But I know I cleaned out mine the other day and I left only the ones that I try to listen to every week. So,
because some podcasts, like, I don't want to listen to a live version of it. I like the studio version, or some I just want to listen to the live version of it.
So I agree. Know.
I like the studio version of How Did This Get Made, but.
And I like the studio version of Bitch Sesh, and I don't really like their live episodes.
I feel the same
way.
They're
just not as good.
They're not as tight.
No.
Or intimate.
I agree.
All right, y'all.
All right. Those are our recommendations and our quick views on some podcasts, too.
We have a lot of opinions.
We do. All right.
All right. Au revoir.